بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Surah Yasin, and we have reached verse number 59. قال الله تعالى وامتاز اليوم أيها المجرمون, and you المجرمون, the criminals, polytheists, unbelievers, get you apart this day, meaning from the believers. So separate yourselves today, get apart, because the way for the mujrims, for the unbelievers, is not the same as that for the believers. The path for the believers will be in the direction of paradise, and those will be in the direction of hellfire. قال الله تعالى in Surah Maryam in chapter 19 verses 85-86, يوم نحشر المتقين إلى الرحمن وفدا ونسوق المجرمين إلى جهنم وردا. يوم نحشر المتقين إلى الرحمن وفدا, اللهم اجعلنا منهم يا رب, ونسوق المجرمين إلى جهنم وردا. The day we shall gather the muttaqeen, the pious, the believers, like a delegate presented before a king for honor unto the most beneficent, and we shall drive the mujrimeen, the unbelievers, to hell in a thirsty state, like a thirsty herd driven down to water. Here in this ayah, Allah says, وَامْتَازُوا, get apart. This is by way of humiliation and scolding at them. Because if you see a group and you see a gathering and you tell a particular group from that gathering, apart and leave and be separate, this is a humiliation and disrespect in that which is apparent. Here there is a scolding and humiliation to them because of their kufr, of their disbelief. The benefits of this verse: number one, that the unbelievers will be humiliated by being separated from the believers on this day and be kept away from them. And on this day, the second benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separates and distinguishes the believers from the disbelievers, as He distinguished between them in this life. Their path is unlike the path of the believers. And from the benefits is that if someone carries on an action, he should mention the proper description related to this action. So, when Allah commanded them here to get apart and be dismissed, it was fitting and proper to mention the cause, where He said, أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, you mujrims, you criminals, you unbelievers. So it is as if, get apart because of your unbelief. And there is no doubt that mentioning the reason behind the ruling takes away unclarity and any objection. And this leads to another point of benefit, that relating the ruling to the description indicates that such a description is the cause for that ruling. So for example, if you say, أكرم المجتهد من الطلبة, honor the hard worker from amongst the students. So therefore, you linked the honoring to hard work. So this is the cause for honoring, is the hard work. And this point of benefit is good for the seeker of knowledge, relating the ruling to the cause. Another benefit. There is an omission in this verse. From a linguistic aspect, there is an omission. It is in the Arabic, which is called Ya Unida, the Ya for calling, O such and such. Ya. The scholars of linguistics, especially those interested in eloquency of speech, they mentioned that it is omitted here, Ya Unida, Ya for calling. By it is omitted because there is scolding and humiliation. Why? So that there can be no lengthy speech. It is taken out. Because having lengthy speech with the one addressed is a way of being comfortable with him. So if someone abbreviates, this is a way of humiliation. But this is not, it cannot be generalized, however. This depends on the context. It may be an honoring to abbreviate the speech, and it may be an honoring to have details in the speech. And in this case, it is a way of humiliation. The next verse. قال الله تعالى ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. Verse 60 and 61, please. Didn't I not ordain for you, O children of Adam, that you should not worship Shaitan, Satan? Verily he is a plain enemy to you. وَأَنِ عَبُدُونِي. The next verse. وَأَنِ عَبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. And that you should worship me alone. This is a straight path. Here, did I not ordain for you? This is an exclamation for attestation. This is like saying in Surah Al-Sharh, in chapter 94, verse 1, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. This is for attestation. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكْ. And here, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ. Didn't I not? Have we not opened your breast for you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? And also like in Surah Al-Zumar 39:71, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ. Again, for attestation. للتقرير. In Arabic. Didn't there come to you messengers from amongst you? Many are the verses of this kind. Why therefore this attestation? The answer, it is intended to be a scolding at them and establishing a proof against them. Allah, O children of Adam, ordained that you should not worship Shaitan, Satan, and his followers. This is as if there is a covenant here, and it is as such, because Allah had taken the covenant that we worship none except him, and that we would not worship Shaitan. ألا تعبدوا الشيطان, that you don't worship شيطان. And from the worship of شيطان is obeying him, obeying others in that which Allah had forbade, is a type of worship. But this requires an explanation. As in the verse in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 31, قال الله تعالى اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا. How could the obedience be a worship? اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا. I wanted to be attentive to this verse because this verse is abused by the takfiris. Let's check the meaning now in English. They, the Jews and the Christians, took their rabbis and their monks to be their lords besides Allah by obeying them in which they, in things which they made lawful or unlawful according to their own desires without being ordered by Allah. And they also took as their lord Al-Masih, Isa, son of Mary, alayhi salam. While they, the Jews and the Christians, were commanded to worship none but Allah. Now, here, one of the companions by the name of Uday ibn Hatim, may Allah be pleased with him, asked the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, inna lasna na'buduhum, we don't worship them. Meaning we don't pray to them or prostrate nor bow to them. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَوَلَيْسَ يُحِلُّونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. This is the explanation. This is the explanation which makes it very clear. Don't they, however, meaning the monks and rabbis, make permissible that which Allah commanded to be haram, and فَتُحِلُّونَهُ, and you do the same, you make it permissible as well. And وَيُحَرِّمُونَ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهِ فَتُحَرِّمُونَهُ, and they make haram that which Allah had made permissible, and you do the same, you make haram, you make it haram. He answered yes. He said فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَتُهُمْ, such is their worship. So this therefore explains that obeying monks, leaders, lords, leaders, etc., in that which is disobedience to Allah, is of two types. One type of obedience takes the person out of Islam, and the other, it doesn't. If they follow them and obey them, believing as they believe that this is haram, and they say this is haram, they make it haram. As Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah classified these two types, then in this case, as the hadith also before this had explained clearly, then in this case this takes them out of Islam. But if they obey them because of ignorance and because of desires and lowly desires for this life, then this does not constitute major kufr that takes the person out of Islam. What happened with the takfiris is that they generalized this verse and they said whoever obeys the leaders because they don't rule by the rule of Allah, then they themselves are kafirs, and that's why they consider it permissible to kill the anyone who works for the governments of these leaders. They think their blood is permissible to shed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse said, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. الشيطان. Does this mean the category, the kind? Or المراد الشيطان المعين, the particular shaitan? What's apparent is this this refers to the kind, the category meaning. And thus it comprises the shayateen of mankind and the shayateen of jinn. Because there are jinn who are shayateen and there are men who are shayateen. There are men from mankind who are devils, shayateen, command people to do sin and transgression, and they turn them away from righteousness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this verse, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, meaning the shaitan is an enemy. So anyone who commands you, please listen to this, anyone who commands you to oppose the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is an enemy to you. And on top of them is the head shaitan, the first shaitan, who leads all shayateen. Adu, enemy, against the friend. And the friend is the one who takes care of you and be to your help. And the enemy is the opposite, who doesn't intend good for you, rather intends evil for you. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned that Allah ta'budu shaytan, you don't worship shaytan. And then he said afterwards in verse 61 in the same surah here, وَأَنِعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. And that you should worship me alone. That is a straight path. Can we put the verse, Brother Salafi, online, please? No, Jazakum Allah khair. Here you can see, in these two verses, there is negation and affirmation. لا تعبد الشيطان, don't worship shaitan. This is negation. Then it is followed by affirmation, worship none but me. So submit in obedience and worship none, setting up no rivals in your worship. And worship means singling Allah alone in obedience and in submissiveness to comply with His commands and to abstain from His prohibitions. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. That is a straight path. What does this mean? It means abandoning the worship of shaitan and singling Allah alone in worship is the straight path. As-sirat. The sirat is the vast, the meaning of sirat is the vast and plain and uncrooked road or path. So it doesn't go left nor right, no crookedness. There is no ups and downs. This is the sirat. Siratun mustaqim, that is the straight path that leads to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah added the sirat to Himself. And sometimes He adds it to His creation. As in Surah Al-Fatiha, for example, قال الله تعالى اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. He added, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. The path of those, guide us to the straight way, the way of those that you had guided, bestowed upon them guidance. So he added, conjugatedly, in the context, the sirat, the way, to those whom he had bestowed grace upon them. So that he said, the way of those on whom you have bestowed grace. And in Surah Ash-Shura, on the other hand, He added the sirat to himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Ash-Shura 42:52-53, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. The path of Allah, you see. And thus, we have sent to you a ruhan from ruhan min amrina, an inspiration. You knew not what is the book nor what is faith, but we have made it a light wherewith we guide whoever of our slaves we will. You, Muhammad, indeed guiding mankind to the straight path, the path of Allah. You see, he added it to himself. So how can we understand these two additions? One to Allah and one to the creation. In Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah added the Sirat to the creation from those whom He bestowed favor upon, because they are the ones who took this way. And then in the other verse He related to Himself, because He is the one who had established this Sirat, this path for His creation, and it leads to Him. Just like you say, هَذَا طَرِيقُ مَكَّةِ, this is the road to Mecca, means it leads to Mecca. It leads to Mecca. And then also you say, هَذَا طَرِيقُ فُلَان, this is the road of such and such, meaning if it is the road that was established by such and such, then you call it, this is the road of such and such. Or if it is the one who took this path and walked on it, then you can name it by his name. So there is no problem at all in that. The benefits of this verse. Is this clear? Is this understanding clear now as to why it comes added to the creation in one aspect, and in sometimes added to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another aspect? Okay, let's repeat. You say, for example, this is the road to Mecca, meaning it leads to Mecca. And then you say about another road, هذا طريق فلان, this is the road of such and such, and you name it. Let us say this is the road of Ahmed. If Ahmed is the one who had established this road and paved it for people, or he is the one who took this road and walked on it, then you can say, this is the road of Ahmed, isn't it? Isn't it? Okay now? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added the sirat to the creation from those on whom He bestowed grace, because they are the ones who are taking this path which leads to Him. And when He added the sirat to Himself, because He is the one who established this for His creation to lead to Him. And it is the same as in the example we had given to you, and to Allah belongs the best example. Now, is this clear, inshallah? Is this clear? Okay, alhamdulillah. طيب, the benefits of this verse. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يحب الأعذار من نفسه أن يحب أن يقيم العذر لنفسه سبحانه وتعالى. Allah سبحانه وتعالى loves to establish excuses for Himself. Why? So that evidences are established on the creation, lest people have a plea against Allah. So, the one who took the covenant that we don't worship the shaitan, and that we worship Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, had established the evidence. And therefore He had established the excuse for Himself. This is like His saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah An-Nisa, in chapter 4, verse 165, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. Messengers as bearers of good news and as well of warning, meaning they were sent, in order that mankind should have no plea against Allah after the messengers. You see that? You see that? In order that mankind should have no plea against the messengers, against Allah after the messengers. And Allah is ever all powerful, all wise. From the benefits with this verse, of this verse, is affirming the mercy of Allah upon the creation. How? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave their sincerity left to their intellect. Rather, he left that on the tongues of his messengers. Because if Allah would have left the sincerity entrusted to our intellect, then you know our intellect differs widely and extensively, because desires are uncontrollable. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that upon himself for his creation. And this affirms his rahmah, his mercy upon us. Jalla wa ala, most magnificent and most high is he, most merciful is he. Third benefit, and this is a very important benefit. It's a principle of vacating or removal followed by placement of things, followed by filling the place. You remove, you vacate, then you fill, quote unquote, you replace. Listen to what Allah said here, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, لا تعبدوا الشيطان. This is removal. وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي. But worship me. Meaning, there is negation followed by affirmation. And this is Tawheed. This is Tawheed. Tawheed is established upon negation and affirmation. Because mere negation is mere denial and non-existence. Mere negation is mere denial and non-existence. And mere affirmation does not preclude association. Mere affirmation, لا يمنع المشاركة, does not preclude association. لأن النفي المجرد تعطيل محض وعدم, والإثبات المجرد لا يمنع المشاركة. So, توحيد cannot be completed except with both negation and affirmation. So that's why if you say, now we give an example. No one is standing in the house. No one is standing in the house. This is mere negation, which is non-existence. Nothing means nothing. Nothing, nothing existing. But if you say, on the other hand, and if you say on the other hand, Zaydun qa'imun fil bayt, Zayd is standing in the house, this is mere affirmation, which does not preclude association, meaning that there could be some other person in the house standing in addition to Zayd. However, if you say the following, لا قائم في البيت إلا زيد, no one is standing in the house except Zayd, then in this case you have singled him alone, and no one therefore is in the house except Zayd. and therefore Tawheed. It's inevitable with Tawheed to have both matters established. And Nafyu wal Ithbat, negation and affirmation. But with which one do we start? We start first with negation, so that affirmation falls in a place free of impurities, sincere and fitting for affirmation. And that's why we start with negation first, followed by affirmation. And this is in the Quran replete. And from that is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Zukhruf 43 verses 26 and 27. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. And remember when Ibrahim said, Abraham said to his father and his people, verily I am innocent of what you worship. This is vacating, negating. Then comes the affirmation, except him who did create me, and verily he will guide me. Is this clear, inshallah? Is this clear? This great principle of Tawheed. Naam. Tayyib. Alhamdulillah. And from the benefits of this verse, obedience of shaitan cannot exist except with disobedience to Allah. And that worship may not be only in the form of ruku'. And sujood, only in the form of bowing and prostrating, nor in sacrifice or vows, but rather it is comprehensive, covering obedience, where there is complete humility. Then this would be worship. Jayyid. And from this also brings another benefit, and that is the obligation to be careful with regard to shaitan and his obedience, because Allah named that as worship. And seventh, the obligation to worship Allah alone. وَأَنِ عَبُدُونِي, and worship me. And the ibadah covers two meanings. Al-ibadah covers two meanings. First is at-ta'abbud, worship. The second, means of worship. Al-ibadah covers two meanings. The worship and the means of worship. And worship means submissiveness and humility to Allah Azza wa Jal, most mighty and most magnificent. In this meaning, it covers our actions in salah, zakah, standing, hajj, etc. And it covers the means, because it is a comprehensive term covering all that which Allah loves and accepts from sayings and actions apparent and hidden in the heart or on the body parts. From the benefits of this verse, that as-siratul mustaqim, the straight path, is tawheed. Because Allah mentioned this, abandoning the worship of shaitan and establishing the worship of Ar-Rahman. And then he followed it by saying, this is the straight path, uncrooked. Why? Because it leads to Allah and His paradise. So it is a straight path. And from the benefits of this verse, that the sirat, the path or the way, could be straight and could be crooked. قال الله تعالى, the evidence for this is in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-An'am in chapter 6 verse 153. قال الله تعالى وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. And verily, this is my straight path, so follow it, and follow not other paths, for they will separate you away from his path. So every individual from mankind has his path. If it is on the Sharia of Allah, then it is mustaqim, upright. And if it is otherwise, then it is crooked. We ask Allah the Most High to make us from those who follow His straight path and to assist us in all of that. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this brings the end of the explanation of verses 60 to 62 of Surah Yasin, or 59 rather, to 62.